up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, you know, it's an interesting day in America when there's a new California movement trying to divide the Golden State. And Russell Brand, a potty mouth comedian, potty mouth to say the least, and I'm only saying that because he's crass, obnoxious, really inappropriate to say the least. But now you got a guy named, like Russell Brand talking about Jesus Christ. That is certainly interesting. And here I am in Raleigh, North Carolina. For those of you, my friends on Facebook Live, welcome to my sunroom, which today is like a snow room because right now in Raleigh, I think we probably have about 3 inches of snow on the ground today so far. And, of course, many of you in other places, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, down in Charlotte, even friends down in Florida. And out to the west, you know, there's crazy weather. This storm kind of moved through, and so I didn't want to take a chance and try to get up to my regular studio today. So I'm here in my home, the confines of my home, nice and comfortable. And I was hoping, the original plan actually, was that I would be in Washington, D.C. right now talking to you from the Museum of the Bible. And I've got the show scheduled. I'm going to... much. They're great. They have a radio studio there that they've built out. K-Love helped them build that out, and they offered some invites to various radio and television ministries around the country, and I was fortunate enough to get one of those invites, so I'm able to do radio up there as a way to help, well, engage you and encourage you to get to the Museum of the Bible. So had to cancel that today because of the crazy weather, but I'll be up there again. I'll be up there next month. In February, that'll be actually my third broadcast from the Museum of the Bible. And we'll always have people from the museum on the show that day to talk about what's going on and kind of give you a glimpse and give you an inside look at what that place is all about. Really an amazing, amazing move of God up there at the Museum of the Bible. And then the different experts there and things that kind of come and go. They've got different exhibits that come and go. So it's really going to be fun to kind of unpack that over the year. But we'll get there. We'll get back there eventually and be doing that together. So I'll be back up there next month. So today, kind of snow stuck here in Raleigh. And we'll make the best of it together, hopefully, and just kind of take it from there. So several different stories I wanted to go through today, some kind of wacky things going on here around the country as we look at the news in the day, which is never boring, is it? I mean, it's just kind of crazy, everything that's going on here in the nation. So I got several different stories I want to go through, and then I want to play for you something that was kind of shocking, it's shocking on a number of fronts. So Chelsea Manning, all right, you remember Chelsea Manning? Chelsea Manning released a bunch of information, pages, I mean, tens of thousands of pages worth, that went through WikiLeaks and a couple other places, and then they eventually caught Chelsea Manning. He was brought up on over 20 charges, espionage and the like. He was convicted on like 17 of them. So this is somebody that's a convicted felon, a traitor, espionage, giving away American secrets and American classified information. And former President Barack Obama commutes his sentence, which doesn't remove the felony conviction. It just says, okay, he doesn't have to serve the time. He had served a little bit of time already. And so he commutes the sentence. He's still guilty. It's still on his record. And then but he doesn't serve the time. So that's Chelsea Manning. You may remember Chelsea Manning. And now Chelsea Manning, also just to make it more interesting because it's the United States of America, is also a transgender. So Chelsea Manning convinced that God got it wrong, that he was actually born to be a woman. So Chelsea Manning now, you know, wearing makeup and trying to dress a little more femininely. And you know, I don't know, maybe that's Chelsea's new name. I don't really know. But Chelsea Manning is now running for the U.S. Senate in Virginia. So Chelsea, believe it or not, and I posted this on Facebook today, so if you want to go look at that, here's what I said on Facebook. A mentally ill, gender-confused, convicted traitor for U.S. Senate. the natural result of a society that rejects moral standards and the existence of absolute truth. You cannot make this stuff up. This young man needs serious counseling, not a job in Congress. So here's where we're at in the United States of America, that if you're gender confused, which is a psychological disorder, as if you showed up at my front door today, trudged through the snow and showed up at my front door with your hand somehow lodged into the front vest of your coat and announced to me that you were here, to take over our property in this part of North Carolina because you are Napoleon Bonaparte and you are in the process of taking over America. And not you don't call me Jim. My name is Napoleon Bonaparte. Well, today in America, because Jim feels like Napoleon Bonaparte, we agree. And all of a sudden, we have to say, well, sir, Napoleon. Now, let's make it even more interesting. Let's say Jim, it's not my neighbor Jim down the street. It's my neighbor Mary down the street, who was born, in fact, a woman. And she shows up and she claims to be Napoleon Bonaparte. And now I have to refer to her as a him, and I have to use whatever name. Otherwise, I'm a hateful, bigoted, homophobic, probably right-wing Christian. But now at Chelsea Manning, now we actually have to take this whole thing seriously. We have to suspend any notion of truth, even any notion of sanity at this point in this country, and just go with whatever Chelsea wants us to go with. Chelsea says he's not a man, he's a woman, and so now you have to refer to him as her and use whatever name. Otherwise, you're microaggressive and you're mixing up the pronouns, and on some campuses around the United States, that is now a no-no. You might as well be a convicted felon yourself. So Chelsea Manning's deciding to run for the U.S. Senate. So when we come back from the break, I'm not going to play it yet. So Kim, my producer there in Winston-Salem, also getting a bunch of snow. We'll hold that clip. We'll play it after the break. So I want to talk about that, Chelsea Manning, a little bit, running for the U.S. Senate, and what does that mean about the United States of America. And then we'll talk about this rather interesting development. This was in a Relevant magazine, which was a conversation with Russell Brand, who's best known. This is from the Christianity Today, or the Christian Post article, who's best known for his vulgarity, insults, and wild behavior, says he's discovered that Jesus Christ is the solution to the world's problems. So we'll talk about that. Something I'm very excited about. In the state of California, a new California movement seeks to divide the Golden State right in half. And then the article from National Review, which I have time, I'll get to it. I think it's a great look at where we're at in this country now, especially when it comes to sexual ethics, which is a big deal. And so we'll go down all these roads together on a snowy, snowy day, live here from Casa del Noble. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And we'll be right back after this short break. So what are we waiting for? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble's Call to Action Radio on a beautiful snowy day, live from, I guess my snow room. It's usually called a sunroom, but there's no sun out there today, and there's a lot of snow, 3 inches. Like the challenge of driving in it, and like to get out in it and watch all of my southern neighbors struggle. But it's like Snowmageddon around here. So if you want to buy milk or bread or any of those staples, forget it. That's no longer available. So just move along and let that dream die. But it is live here from my home. Didn't try to make it into the studio today. A couple different stories to talk about, but I wanted to start by playing for you. And Kim, if we have this ready over there in Winston-Salem in the studio, you guys got to hear this. This is the ad from Chelsea Manning, the convicted felon. Espionage Act 17, Chelsea, who was born Bradley Edward Manning. So Bradley was brought up on like 22 counts in his court martial, was convicted on 17 of them. And Obama commuted Manning's sentence because there was like 7 years of confinement date. And so he commuted the sentence. So he's still a convicted felon, right? Still a traitor, still brought up and convicted under 22 aspects of the Espionage Act and court-martialed, and now running for the U.S. Senate. So let's just enjoy this for 1 minute and 11 seconds. Kim, let's go ahead and play. This is Chelsea Manning's first ad out there for the U.S. Senate. Cue it up. Let's go, Kim.
I'm Chelsea Manning, and I approve this message.
We live in trying times. Times of fear. Of suppression. Of hate. We don't need more or better leaders. We need someone willing to fight. We need to stop asking them to give us our rights. They won't support us. They won't compromise. We need to stop expecting that our systems will somehow fix themselves. We need to actually take the reins of power from them. We need to challenge them at every level. We need to fix this. We don't need them anymore. We can do better. You're damn right we got this.
Okay. Thanks, Chelsea. All right, so that's Chelsea Manning, convicted felon, a traitor to the United States of America, now running for the U.S. Senate in Virginia. So help me out with that. Somebody explain to me what's going on here. I mean, seriously, what is happening that this is actually serious, that Chelsea Manning is now running for the U.S. Senate, Bradley Edward Manning, actually. So, again, back on this gender issue, which is just craziness. And I know it sounds harsh, and sometimes I really struggle with how I should say this. Chelsea Manning, Edward Manning, whatever his birth name is, his name, is crazy. Chelsea has a mental disorder, totally confused about his gender. He needs counseling. He doesn't need to go under the scalpel. He doesn't need estrogen pills. He doesn't need to have breast implants. Chelsea Manning needs counseling because Chelsea Manning is, to use layman's terms, is crazy. So, but nobody says anything because we're in this politically correct world, and I'll explain this here in a second, in the United States of America. So if you come out and start talking like that, in the political realm especially, or in the mainstream media, holy cow. Can you imagine? The snow room here in my house would probably be surrounded by the end of the show because I'm obviously a hateful psycho. Produce and have kids, and it figures that we homeschool because that's what these crazy, hateful people do. So now I'm the nut job, right? And everybody else is normal and loving and kind. So what's the deal with that? Why do we continue to go down these roads in America? And again, this is not new. The fact that we're now playing games with the reality of gender, that there's sex and then there's gender, and that you can be born biologically and chromosomally and based on your DNA, a fact, a undeniable fact of life and all comes from God. Set all that aside because that's your sex. And then there's your gender, which is different. So I may be an American, but I really like Cuba. So it's two different things. I was born here, but the way I associate and who I'd like to call myself, just like Rachel Dolezal out in Washington, who wanted that she's transracial. Now you have people that are transspecial. I know you think I'm a human being, but I was actually designed to be a lizard. And so I'm going to cut off my ears and I'm going to cut off my, this is real. This is actually happening out there. Cut off my nose. And now you're going to respect me as a lizard. So here's what happens in America. Here's why this is going on from a biblical perspective. When absolute truth comes into the room, that you are exactly who God made you to be. Now, some people, are there hermaphrodites? Yep. And what is that, friend? What is a hermaphrodite? Born with some of both genitalia? That is a birth defect. Okay? That's a birth defect. Now, you don't turn around and go, no, that's normal. Or say, no, the whole system's screwed up. No, that's a birth defect. It's abnormal. And it's a very difficult situation. It's very rare, but it happens. Okay? Set that aside. All the transgender stuff now. If you introduce a standard, a claim to an absolute truth, well, that means there has to be a source of absolute truth, which means there's a truth giver. Now you're running into the trouble. If there's a truth giver for much of human history, especially the last 2,000 years, but even the last 5,000 years, the truth giver, the main claim of the truth giver is the God of the Bible. So all of a sudden, when you stand up and say there is an absolute truth because there's an absolute truth giver that's outside of our reality and things are actually true or false, there is an absolute truth. You bring God into the picture. What you bring with him is now judgment. You bring judgment. You bring a measuring stick that is going to be placed next to every aspect of your life. What you think, what you do, who you sleep with, why you sleep with them, how often you sleep, what you do when you sleep with them, who you vote for, what you think, what comes out of your mouth, how you treat your fellow human beings, how you treat yourself. All those things now come under the judgment of an all-knowing, all-powerful, just God. And that's where, therein lies the rub, as we like to say. The rub is judgment. The rub is, I want to live the way I want to live. And so when you're rejecting God, when you reject the gospel, when you don't want that in your life, okay, which the scriptures are clear about that, and such were some of you, same as me. So I don't remember who said this quote, but the seed of every sin exists in every human heart. We're all fallen. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All right, everybody, we're all in the same boat there. So, but some of us, by faith, thank God, accept that reality. We accept the truth. We repent, we confess, we come to Christ, and we're born again. Everybody else, you stay a rebel, and you don't want it to be true because it's a very, talk about Al Gore, thank you, Al. Talk about an inconvenient truth. All of a sudden, every aspect of my life will be taken up to. Lost people don't like it. I didn't like it. When you were lost, you didn't like it either. Nobody likes that. So once you're in that camp, if you, in a conversation like transgenderism, abortion, remember we have the blood of 60 million dead children running underneath our streets all over America. If you start standing up and say, yeah, I actually think this is probably wrong, period. Uh-oh. Now you're starting to get into the camp of the lawgiver, which means you're going to have to be judged. And most people don't want to be judged, so they don't go down that road no matter how obvious the issue. Killing babies or men becoming quote-unquote women, or women who, quote-unquote, become men. So you gotta throw down with the insanity. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Okay, setting aside the fact that Chelsea Manning, a convicted felon and traitor, is running for the U.S. Senate, let's move on to some more bizarre things going on out there in the world. Which one first? New California movement seeks to divide the Golden State in half. That's hilarious. Or Russell Brand. Let's do Russell Brand because this gives me some hope for people like Chelsea Manning. And there is hope for people like Chelsea Manning. If Chelsea Manning got some serious counseling, and if Chelsea Manning turned his life over to Jesus Christ and submitted himself to the King of truth and love and grace and forgiveness, there would be all kinds of healing and things available to Chelsea Manning, who could be exactly who God made him to be. So I want to jump over to this story. This is from the Christian Post, and it was kind of jumping out of an article in Relevant Magazine. And when I saw the title, I was like, what? Russell Brand declares he's changed his ways, never been closer to Jesus. Now, one of the reasons I'm on the radio, besides the fact that I have a big mouth, is that I'm a fairly cynical person. So I tend to want to look behind the headlines and look behind the claims of whoever it is. And so these things, stories like this, always catch my eye. And then oftentimes I've found myself in the past unwilling to go an inch or a mile with anybody that had kind of lived a reprobate life. But then I come back to the scriptures and such for some of you, and I definitely lived a reprobate life and still have sin coursing through my body, and I'm still a sinner. But saved, praise the Lord, and working more towards holiness. And I thank Jesus for that, of course. But when somebody like Russell Brand, controversial comedian Russell Brand, and this is from the beginning of the article, who's best known for his vulgarity, insults, and wild behavior, says he's discovered that Jesus Christ is the solution to the world's problems. Quote, "My personal feeling is the teachings of Christ are more relevant now than they've ever been," Brand said in an interview with Relevant Magazine. There's a famous quote, he says, "Every man who knocks on a brothel door, he's looking for God." He added, "Crack houses in these dens of suffering and illicit activity, they're all people trying to feel good, trying to feel connected. People are trying to escape. People are trying to get out of their own heads. To me, this is a spiritual impetus. Humanity is, metaphorically, knocking on a brothel door, and that they are looking for fulfillment in things that will only leave them empty," he continued. Now, these are incredibly insightful, profound, and true words coming from Russell Brand, all right? Following his divorce from pop star Katy Perry, after being married for only 14 months, Brand began the process of changing his life around. He wed actress Laura Gallagher in 2017 after the couple had their first child, Mabel. says he was first introduced to a recovery program by an atheist, and he actually had to fight past all the religious talk. His bohemian culture and insatiable appetite for dirty jokes was in contrast to God. So instead of becoming traditionally religious, the 42-year-old changed how he thought about religion. So this is really interesting. This is from the Christian Post. My route to spirituality comes through addiction, so it comes from desperation and fear and this sort of defeat, destruction, annihilation of self in a very humiliating way, I suppose, he revealed. I had no choice but to embrace spiritual life, but now I'm grateful for this. It makes sense of my life. Brand said the phrase, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," in the Lord's Prayer is vital to changing the world for better. His reasoning being that focusing on self-fulfillment is aimless, but the gospel's message of caring for others is what really brings satisfaction to the internal longing everyone has. Quote, I've seen in many formats now, because I've played out the same pattern many times, the attachment to physical things, physical behaviors, or people will never make me happy, he added. But service of others and values that are certainly found in Christianity will make me feel peace or make me feel happy. It's a lesson that's very hard to learn. So that's out there through the 12-step program, which is kind of, you know, it depends on who's teaching it. There's kind of a spiritual context to it and a higher being, a higher authority in your life. But it's interesting. In another article, he said, I think we've been tricked into not believing in God. There's a duty to reclaim the true meaning of religion when we're in an ideological dead end, when these knee-jerk acts of self-flagellation are happening at an international level. So when you see somebody like Russell Brand all of a sudden talking about Jesus Christ and the Lord's Prayer, is Russell Brand a born-again Christian? Am I going to see Russell Brand in heaven? I don't know. I know that my cynical side, and I think I'm not probably not the only Christian that struggles with this. My cynical side immediately wants to go, well, you know, he didn't exactly espouse the gospel in this article, and I found the Relevant Magazine article, and I haven't read the whole thing yet. But I typically react with a whole lot of cynicism and doubt. And I think there's a lesson in that, certainly for me, but for all of us, that hey, we don't know what's going on in Russell Brand's life. We don't know who's talking to him. So I find hope in articles like this and stories like this. I try to curb my cynicism and my doubt, because if Jesus could save me, he could save Russell Brand, he can save anybody. And so my word of encouragement to you on this particular subject, maybe you have some Russell Brands in your life, vulgar, crass, nasty, mean, worldly, materialistic, sexual maniacs. And oftentimes we think, yeah, no, that's just not going to happen. They're too far gone. Not even a dead man or woman or child is too far gone for the Lord, and we need to remember that. So I hope that Russell Brand actually knows the gospel. He's certainly in the ballpark with some of the things that he's saying. And so, I think all of us, in terms of the life of a praying Christian, when you run into things like this, you just pray. And it's just simple, right? Let's do it right now. Let's pray right now on Christian radio for Russell Brand, who none of us probably know personally. Father, we just, I thank you that there seems to be some glimmer of hope here that Russell Brand is coming to know his creator and Lord, his savior. In that Russell Brand will actually hear, maybe he's already heard the actual gospel, Lord, that he will understand the full counsel of your word, and that Russell and his wife and eventually his child, and maybe he's already saved, Lord. I don't know. I hope he is. And if he is, the angels in heaven are rejoicing, and I do too. And that he'll use that incredible platform he has to bring you glory and to share the gospel in the dark places that he's spent years of his life in. And we just thank you for that hope, Lord, and that reality. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. See, and now that's pray without ceasing, just going down the road and praying as things hit our radar screen, which is, I think, the life of prayer that Christ would have us live. All right, here's one. This was hilarious. I look at this one because when I teach civics, I'm supposed to have the class tomorrow. We'll see what happens with all the snow. But I've been teaching civics and Constitution to high school age homeschoolers. I think this is my sixth year. And one of the things that comes up invariably is the relationship between the states and the federal government. Federalism, which was supposed to mean a small federal government and expansive state governments, quite autonomous, has largely died, if not completely DOA. And so today, when we end up talking about Texas back during the bailout period, said no thank you to the government money, because with government money comes government control. So that was beautiful. I'm waiting for the day that Texas will secede from the Union. I did not expect to see a movement in California. California is another thing, like Russell Brand, that we might easily write off, but this is an interesting story from Fox News. Two men have launched a campaign, God bless them, to divide rural California from the coastal cities, motivated by what they referred to as a tyrannical form of government that doesn't follow the U.S. Constitution or the state one, the San Francisco Chronicle reported. Unlike the failed 2016 campaign to split California into six states, the New California Movement, founded by Robert Paul Preston and Tom Reed, seeks to consolidate rural California into a distinct economy separate from the coast. After years of overtaxation, this is a quote, regulation and monoparty politics, the state of California and many of its 58 counties have become ungovernable. After years of overtaxation, regulation, and that's the same quote. That was the tweet, darn it. Preston and Reed say the citizens of the state live under a tyrannical form of government, not follow constitutional requirements. Wrong when you have a rural county such as this one, and you go down to Orange County, which is mostly urban, and it has the same set of problems, and it happens because of how the state is being governed and taxed, Preston told CBS Sacramento. The founders have evoked Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution as justification for establishing a new economy with a new state constitution. The founders have evoked Article 4 along the way, of course, in states that a consensus must be reached by the state legislature of California as well as Congress. The process, according to New California representatives, could take 10 to 18 months. The New California Movement unveiled a Declaration of Independence earlier this week that called for a free and independent state. That sounds like the movie The State of Jones, which is a good movie, tough, but a great movie, a true story, with full power to establish and maintain law and order to promote general prosperity. I love this story. I love the reality behind the story. I love the tension involved in this story. And this is really what our founding fathers were all about. When you live in a tyrannical system, you have an obligation to do something about it, to at the very least pray, which we're commanded in Scripture to do, and as a good citizen, to be informed and to vote. That is incumbent upon us. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. And so I love the fact that there's guys out there talking about, hey, we need to split our state because this is insane. And they should, because California largely is insane, right? But it's the same reason that we see that problem around the country in terms of urban areas versus suburban areas. You see, which is, by the way, I've talked about this before, but it's a good time to remind everybody, which is why you have the beauty of the Electoral College. If we didn't have the... Actually, I don't know about you, but leaving my president in the hands of L.A. and New York and Chicago and Atlanta is not a great idea. When we come back, some more, a few more stories, a few more interesting things for you on a snowy day here in North Carolina. I hope it's safe where you're at. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. A snowy but beautiful afternoon here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm at home because, you can't go anywhere when you live down here in North Carolina and it snows. So I'm at home in what's normally our sunroom. Now it's our snow room. So not the greatest internet in the world. Thank you very much, Time Warner, which is now Spectrum. We'll see if we can change that. So, a couple little moments of not great reception and coverage here. So I apologize for that. But we're working our way through it and coming up here into the last end of the show. And wanted to bring up a couple other stories up there, out there, a couple other things. And I think next week I'm flying to Dallas on Monday night. So I'll be in Dallas on Tuesday, live from AT&T Stadium, that big, beautiful, monstrous stadium where the Cowboys play. We're doing an official launch for Harvest America 2018, which is on Sunday, June 10th. Pastor Greg Laurie and my friends at Harvest and that nationwide evangelistic outreach, which is basically the Harvest Crusade on steroids. So, but for the Dallas market, for the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth, the Metroplex, it's a local crusade. So it was crazy what happened in March of 2016. They had to shut the doors on that place. There were about 83,000 people on the inside. We had several thousand host locations around the country. And it ended up being, by the numbers, the largest one-day evangelistic outreach in U.S. history. A live audience that day was about 325,000, and based on all the reporting sites and the number of sites that were out there is about 25,000 people made professions of faith. And that's the whole point, to use technology to share the gospel. So I'll be bringing you guys through that process as we move from now to June 10th, Sunday, June 10th. So you can use a Roku, you can use Apple TV, you can get the app, you can watch on Facebook Live. It's been on TBN before. There's all different kinds of ways that you can partake in the live Harvest America crusade in your family room, at your church, in the sanctuary, wherever. You're able to share it online with every person that you can touch electronically. You can give them an opportunity to hear a gifted evangelist, and Greg Laurie obviously is, and God has used. Graham, and actually Greg's been on Billy's board for probably about 25 years now, and he's kind of the obvious pass the baton person. And it's just an incredible opportunity for all of us to use technology to host in your home, to get your church involved. HarvestAmerica.com is the website. Our brand new website will go live next week. And then it just gives, you know, all people all over the country, and in fact, all around the world, use the evangelist. We don't kind of have evangelists coming to church as much anymore. We think that's like an old school thing. It isn't. It's still alive and well. Evangelism still works. There's still evangelists. And you take somebody that's got the gift and use them to share the gospel. Maybe it's with your husband or your wife or your children or your neighbors or coworkers or a friend, whoever. But it's an incredible opportunity. So I'll be there on Tuesday, hopefully broadcasting live from AT&T Stadium on Tuesday, flying back on Wednesday. But next week, I want to, next week or the week after, worst case, I want to open up the phones that day and talk about this Memphis pastor, Andy Savage. He stood up before his church like 2 weeks ago. He sexually assaulted a girl when he was 20. He was a youth pastor, and she was 17. And that came back up. That came up to the church, and they gave him a standing ovation when he went before the congregation that Sunday a couple weeks ago, and they decided to keep him on. He offered his resignation. They wouldn't take it. And so, you know, it was when he was 20, but it kind of got buried by the previous church and other things, and a really dicey story. But I want to take your calls that day and just talk about what would you do? What would you want to have happen if this was your pastor in your church? They kept him. But I think you can make a pretty good biblical case that you shouldn't. I'll probably see if I can get to Danny Aiken to chime in on that one, the president of Southeastern. But I want to talk to you about that one. So we'll do that story together in the next week or two. Memphis pastor Andy Savage at a big church there in Memphis, and they kept him on. But he says, yeah, absolutely, that was sexual assault when he was 20, and a youth pastor with a 17-year-old girl who he gained her confidence and all that stuff, and then he drove her off somewhere and took her out in the middle of nowhere, and, you know, the story paints, if you want to go that direction, hey, was this consensual? But here's a 20-year-old leading a 17-year-old down the road, literally, and just a really difficult story. It was a long time ago, you know, 25 years ago or so. So that's out there. I want to talk about that in the near future. And then this particular story in the National Review, which I thought was a great story. It brings up, I don't have time to read it all to you, but the premise of it I think is important. The claims against Aziz Ansari. So he's a comedian on TV, his blossoming career, reveal the defects of modern sexual morality. This is by David French on January 15th. And I'm just going to kind of tee this up for you. But this is a subject that's not going away anytime soon. So we'll definitely come back to it. It was inevitable. The hashtag MeToo movement was going to collide directly with all the ambiguity and pain of the college sexual assault tribunals. We were going to read not about sexual assault, but instead about a date gone wrong, where two parties had different perceptions, and all we could really know is that another young woman would feel used and traumatized, and a confused man would find his reputation in tatters because of a sexual encounter that never at any point to him had seemed inappropriate or wrong. In this case, the young woman is known only as Grace, and the man is comedian Aziz Ansari, a certified woke celebrity, a darling of the progressive movement, and a genuinely funny man. In a long-reported piece in a publication called Babe, Grace tells her side of the story. She met him at an Emmy Awards party. They went to the after party. They texted back and forth for a few days. He asked her out. They met at his apartment, had a glass. She regretted it, and then sees him at the recent thing. What was it, Golden Globe or whatever, wearing the little pin about standing up against sexual assault. And all of a sudden, she's like, "Oh yeah, remember me?" So she comes out. She was consenting. They went down the road. She regrets it. She felt, you know, obligated for whatever reason when she was there. And now it comes back around. And Ansari, on the other side, would be right to feel both confused and wrong. I'm back to this article. Even if the relevant moral standard is enthusiastic consent or an enthusiastic yes, you could almost certainly put Ansari under a lie detector. And he'd still say that he thought her conduct was happily consensual. After all, they engaged in certain activities within minutes of arriving at his apartment. He asked her, even by her own account, for things to happen, and she immediately obliged. What's he supposed to think? The bottom line is that these kinds of encounters are the inevitable result of consent morality. So listen to this. This is really interesting. You can tweak the definition of consent all you want, and these fact patterns will arise constantly and consistently. The reason is simple. If every single human encounter can be sexualized upon consent, then every single encounter is fraught with potential sexual tension. First dates? Of course. Casual meetings at parties? Absolutely. Business meetings? Sure thing. And how do we know whether there's consent? Someone has to ask for that consent. Someone has to be the aggressor. Unless it's one of these rare Hollywood moments, the kind of organic encounter that happens effortlessly on screen but almost never in real life, one person, usually the guy, is more enthused about the moment than the other person usually. Of pressure and discomfort. So now we're down this road, and here's where you're getting to kind of his conclusion. Even if men and women reject Christian morality and believe that waiting for marriage is a bridge too far, the decision to delay sex until well after the formation of a healthy relationship will protect people from an immense amount of heartbreak. When the relationships form first, people actually talk about their sexual morality and talk about their limits. This happens routinely in Christian relationships when boyfriends and girlfriends discuss how far is too far and take precautions to avoid temptation. But to ask some people to refrain from seeking sex whenever they want it is like asking ancient pagans to melt their golden idols. The pursuit of sex is a central focus of their lives. It's where we live today, and the liberation from sexual morality is for them a central achievement of modern ethics. Even as the collateral damage mounts, they insist that just this or that tiny tweak to their fundamentally libertine hedonism will protect people from shame, guilt, and rage while still preserving absolute sexual freedom. It won't work. It can't work. Human beings were not created to live like that. Morality based on consent alone has always been doomed to fail. How many more souls have to suffer before we discover that simple moral fact? A great article by David French, who's a great writer. If you're looking for some websites to read and some great writers to follow, David French is definitely one of them at National Review, nationalreview.com. And he brings in, again, Christian morality. We want freedom. We want rebellion. We want to do whatever we want to do with our bodies or with our time or with our money or with our intellect or with our talents. And because of the fallen human condition, what comes of that? Wreckage. Just like some people try to make a case for polygamy because it's found in the Old Testament. But just because God's word records it doesn't mean that God endorses it. There is all kinds of brutal sin throughout the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. Crazy things happening, crazy people doing them. But nowhere does God say something like polygamy is fine. As a matter of fact, every time you study polygamy in the scripture, sometimes the wreckage is in your own heart and mind. It's in your body. It's in another person's body. It's in relationships. It's in marriages. It's in your ability to see yourself correctly, ladies, especially young ladies. It's so easily twisted. There's so much wreckage there. I've used this example, and a lot of the kids that I teach in these homeschool classes are kind of like, what? No, how did you? I thought we were talking about government today, and now he's talking about sexual ethics. And I explained it. I won't have a lot of time to unpack this, but I explained it to him like this. If let's say I had a $300,000 Ferrari and I threw you the keys, whether you have a driver's license or not, said, enjoy yourself. Would that be loving or unloving of me? Well, that would be unloving. Why? Because there's a good chance I'm going to get hurt. I could die. I could kill somebody else. Right. So that Ferrari is really only safe if you know what you're doing, and especially you have to drive it in a closed track. Sex is the same thing. God knows that the sexual encounter is like a Ferrari. It's super powerful, and praise the Lord that it is, right? But it's only safe when it's used in the right context. You do it any other way, and there's wreckage. But in this culture, because we reject God, we reject the truth, and so we drive into these messes again and again and again. Really sad. Pray for the nation. Pray for the gospel. Pray for your kids. Pray for your spouse. Pray for one another. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.